Okay, I'll ask a question for John. Does prayer do anything?
I mean, prayer is within the body-based illusion.
Yes.
What it could do is basically calm the mind flow. Like if you're thinking about some kind of a thing, let's say somebody's dying, you keep thinking about them dying, thinking about them dying, thinking about them dying. To sit there and pray for that person will stop that train of thought of, you know, this runaway train of thinking, basically. Again, there's no cause and effect because there's nothing. Yeah. Like you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. So all of these things, these meditations of prayer and such are good experience within the body-based illusion of existence. And again, it'll stop the train of thought. Like anybody sitting there and saying, oh God, please help me in this situation, this and this, it's going to stop you and get you out of yourself. Because yourself is this constant thought process of what is happening that I don't like or what is happening that I'm overwhelmed with. And so if you pray about this, you're going to get out of this thought stream of, oh my God, this is happening and then that's happening. This is, oh God, please help me. And that's a pause. And in that pause, you can find yourself because it won't be this constant stream of thinking about things that are not. And even in that moment, the prayer can just be, and I am doing this similarly and saying, okay, Master, I'm not sure what to do in this moment. And then I just pause. Because again, there's no doer, no deed. So the main thing is to stop this thought flow that there is a doer and there is a deed and I need to do this or otherwise this won't happen. Or this person that I really care about is dying or sick or, you know, oh God, please help this, do this or do that. It's just getting you out of yourself. This mind flow of this is how I'd like it to be. Because you're basically turning it over to something else. Then therefore this sense of doership is eroded in that moment.
And then isn't there like an energetic component to that too? Like I'm sending good energy or, you know, like the Buddhists have a loving kindness, which is, you know, you think about the person and you say, may they be happy, may they be safe, may they be healthy, may they live with ease. So the Buddhist tradition uses that. So
within the body-based illusion, this is okay. In the easiest way, that's why we talked about when your friend had somebody who was dying, remaining with the sense of presence, the sense of existence, is as close as you can get to anyone.
Yeah.
So, okay, a loved one has passed on, you remain with the presence. The same presence that you're feeling in this moment was the presence that was animating that body of this person that you loved that is no longer in the body form. So that's the easiest. If I want to pray for you, the easiest thing is to be one with you so that I'm removing this illusion of separation and this illusion that what's happening to you is actually happening. The biggest and largest compassion is to remain with your selfless self and be with you always. And that's the sense of presence, just here, just I, I without anything. That is the most compassionate, the most nicest, beautiful prayer. The best you can do for your loved one, whether they be in body or out of body, it's all one presence. I am literally as intimate, closer than intimacy, closer than anything I could ever be when I'm remaining with my selfless self.
Yeah, because there's no separation.
Exactly. That's the highest compassion. If we go into the body-based illusion and we say, okay, I'm a body and you're a body, and we somehow need to have mindfulness to be aware of ourself without the body, but when you know yourself as formless, all that is just tossed aside. All these are concepts. because prior to being this, you had no concepts of compassion or being with the other person or the body-based existence, nothing. And after leaving the body, same thing, nothing. You won't know yourself because you didn't know yourself. Now you know yourself, then you don't know yourself. And while you know yourself, that's the illusion, the body-based existence. That's the long dream. So to eliminate all of that, and that's why Maharaj says, meditation, so important. Know yourself in a real sense, and everything disappears. Everything dissolves. Concept of Buddhist, concept of Christian, concept of Muslim, concept of enlightenment, concept of saint, concept of sinner, all of this dissolves without the body.
I have a question.
Yes.
To know myself in real sense, the problem is the wrongful notion of I am so and so in a world. So I am taking myself about myself in wrong way, and besides I'm believing the world is true. So how can I see that, or how can it be seen that the world is not real and I'm not the one whomever I'm taking as myself? So
this presence has no attributes, has no anything. And it's like Maharaj says, if at all you want to compare yourself to space or sky. All of this is occurring within that. You're that. You're the background of all of this that allows these things to appear and disappear.
See, this pointer works out as long as mind is operating. Yes, you know, as long as there is a sense that in the wakefulness, all this thing is being experienced, the surroundings. But at one point of time, as you point out, just, you know, you start B, you don't even know the mind is existing. But still, that is experience. How can it be discarded?
You remain with your selfless self. Mind is there to bring you back to your selfless self. Because the mind is giving you images and projections and pictures about all these things that are not actually real. You're prior to mind. So you remain with that just I feeling, that just I. It's a subtle presence. You can only feel it because of the body form and the body-based illusion of existence. You can sense existence because there's the concept of duality. There's a me and there's presence. In reality, there's only presence and there never was a me. And therefore, anything that has appeared on presence is not true. And that's it. Like, there's no, the space in the room doesn't think about the objects in the room. Mind stops. It's nothing. It's like dead mind. You don't even know there's nothing. Just like we said in the beginning of this, oh, we're getting ready to do this. And it's just another scene. There's no getting ready to do anything. It's just, okay, questions are coming. There's speaking happening and this is going on and this is going on. Then we turn it off. Just prior to this meeting, I was discussing something with someone else and that's over now. And here we are, because there's no carrying over. There's no object. There's no point in time to say this is all happening to me. There's formlessness that's using form to experience, because your formless nature, there'd be no experience, not even an experience that you exist. But with the illusion of duality comes the ability to experience existence, what existing would be like. But it's not true. Again, easiest thing is dream. You know that everything that's occurring inside the dream is absolutely formless. It's coming from formlessness. It's appearing only There is no material substance, even though while you're an object within the dream, it appears very real. And you can knock on a piece of wood in your dream, and it's hard. But you absolutely know when you wake up, how could this wood be hard? This is all illusion.
This illusionariness of the dream is mostly realized when, you know, when I transition from the dream state to wakeful state. Then I realize, oh, it's a dream.
Yes.
But the challenge here in the waking state is, as long as I believe, or, you know, or as long as the waking state is taken as reality, then there is no freedom, right?
Well, you just have to know yourself in a real sense. Again, the subtle sense of presence. Then you've woken up from the dream of existence, from the dream of materialism, from the dream of projections, believing that the projections are real. It's just presence, just subtle, just I. No attributes, nothing. And that's waking up.
John,
yes.
Even that ultimate presence itself, it's illusion too. Correct? Like it's everything's presence, and presence only exists because of me being prior to that, like the experience of presence.
Exactly. Presence has appeared to no presence, I guess you would say, or the sense of existence appeared to the non-existent sense. In other words, you exist, there's no knowing of this existence. Then there's a subtle stirring, I exist, and just like in the dream, when the deep sleep and a subtle stirring, I exist, projects a dream consciousness, the same happens in the waking state. But you get to know yourself in a real sense because you've been given this body now. You have a body. You have access to this body that you can use as a medium to know yourself. And you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. Then who am I? And you read the books and it says you are that. It says accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Nothing is there. And then you start to see, okay, so you sit with yourself. Master says all the time, meditation, so important. Because once you know yourself, even touching yourself for a brief moment, oh, so that I am that. And you cultivate presence. You're no longer diving into the illusory world and getting all your pleasures from there. You start to investigate this presence, and presence with presence, consciousness with consciousness, selfless self-intoxication, and the knowledge that the entire world is in this consciousness or this presence, all of these things are appearing, so that I am that, and remain there. And you just, and mind stops because there's nothing to think about, like, because it's there's no sense of time, there's no sense of action, there's no sense, there's like spontaneous action in the moment. Do what needs to be done. We talked about before, you pick up the water, drink, put it down. Everything's like that. No matter how, quote, personal it may appear at the time, everything is pick up the water, drink it, put it down. Spontaneous action in the moment, without a sense of doership, without the desire for expectations, without a thought of some kind of a timeline, all of this is just gone, and you just remain as yourself. There is nothing. That's why, you know, they say, you are nothing. You are everything. It's easier to say you're nothing because you say, okay, this body and this me does not exist. I do not exist. Well, how do you practice I do not exist? You remain with the selfless self, with presence, because you are an appearance within presence. And when the you that you believe you are is no more, The presence that you are very much is.
So, but you know, as we, you know, you have said to Devi Sati, being in presence is not same as the prior to the presence, right?
Well, you know presence. In order to know presence, you had to be prior to it. You're prior to every experience, including the experience of presence, or the I am. Like they say, you were there, I am has appeared to you, the so-called death will be I am no longer appearing to you. And everything with the I am that came along with the I am is absolutely illusion. You're the knower of presence. Otherwise, you couldn't know presence. And you know presence only through the illusion of duality in body form. Without a body, you also won't know presence. That's why, while you have a body, the body is very, very important, as Ramakant Maharaj says, to know yourself in a real sense. Every moment is precious. Because after the body, you're not going to know yourself, but through the body form, you can know yourself, and then the idea of death and birth dissolve, explode. Death and birth are not possible. Your formless presence. You know the sense of presence through the illusion of duality. And now, no illusion of duality, no presence, meaning you, this body form, can no longer sustain your essence. You will no longer be a knower of presence because there will be no presence to know. But while you have the illusion of duality and this body form is available, you will know the sense of presence and you will be the knower of presence. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. All the knowledge that the body has acquired is useless. All the relations that the body has acquired, so to speak, family and such, is untrue because you are formless. And now knowing this, you do your job, do your duties, take care of your family members, be a good employee, do all these things to the best of your ability, but in the moment only, knowing that it's all illusion.
So that means here two things are being understood. One is, as long as the body sustains the presence or I am, so that will be there. So the realization or understanding is that is unreal. I mean, the conviction comes that this is all unreal. So that I am.
Yes.
So that I am.
Well, because the presence already, if you just know the presence, and as Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you identify yourself with the I am, the sense of presence. That removes the world. Because now you're just, okay, this formless presence, this is myself. It has nothing. There's nothing. It's just a very nice, subtle, just I. So now I identify as this. But knowing that only this feeling is because of the illusion of duality. So when the illusion of duality is gone, you will no longer sense this presence, but the knower is still very much there because you never were not. There's never a time where you are not. You can't even say, I am not, and then I am. Like, no. You may not have known I am, but I am.
So this, even though the I am is the first problem came into the world, but it is the one that gives the solution.
Yeah, well, and that's why if you remain with the sense of presence, you remain with the sense of I am, even if you identify with that, it will pull you in. Because, okay, it eliminates the world. It eliminates thought. It eliminates body. It eliminates everything. Okay, just subtle presence. All these things, the space in the room and all the activities in the room, just the space. And the only way the space is known is through the illusion of duality. The illusion, I exist, and then the body-based existence. But you can toss aside the entire body-based existence because now you know yourself in a real sense without the body form. Just I. The sense of presence is only there because you have this body to know yourself. When it's gone, that's it. But everything that happened appeared to that sense of existence, which is false. Therefore, you don't have to take the touch of this world that you're four times removed from. You're formless presence. So that means the entire world is untrue. So now you start to say, oh, like, what about politics? Or what about my friend? Or what about these people dying? Well, wait a minute. Formless presence has just eliminated the entire world and everything in it. And now so the subtle...
Eliminating means it's... in elimination means there is a clear understanding that that is unreal. But it is not going anywhere, right?
Oh, no. You're still going to see it, of course, because you're in the body-based illusion of existence. But
the belief that it is real is gone.
Yes, because it is all appearing on presence. They're projections. And they don't mean anything at all. And yet, while you're here, you do your job, do your duties, like we talked about. Even you might see yourself with a protesting sign, protesting some kind of a something. Who knows what you might be protesting? But you know it's unreal. You can protest, you can go, and you can have a job, and you can have a family. That's why if you're in the illusion of body-based existence, you say, oh, I have to leave my family, go into a cave, sit, meditate, not have anything that might disturb me from remaining with myself. But that's ridiculous, because nothing disturbs you from remaining with yourself, whether you're in a cave or whether you're in the busy day-to-day activities, because you know yourself in a real sense. The sense of presence dissolves the world. Mind is no longer there telling you or talking to you about all these sort of things that are going on, because nothing's going on. And you just remain with the sense of presence. And as we talk about leaving the body form, because birth and death are erased, of course, because everything that's going on other than the formless presence is untrue. So there's body being born and being dying. They're just projections. And now if you're sitting there and the doctor says, okay, you're going to be leaving the body, or they say dying. Oh, Rami, it's very sad. I'll use myself so we don't have any like voodoo curse or whatever. So, oh, John, it's very sad you're going to be dying by the end of the evening. And okay, that's happening within the projection. And now, mantra, and just remain with that sense. Just die. Nothing's dying. Nothing was born. None of this was ever true. I just remain. Just remain. And the last thing, as the last breath is going out, there will be an experience of no presence, because you'll still have body form. As the body form is leaving, your awareness, so to speak, you'll have the experience of leaving experience just in a split second. And you'll know. Like that'll be the absolute most amazing time, because all of this, you could say, okay, maybe I'm insane. I feel this sense of presence. Master says there's a presence. Who knows this? Okay, this is true. But then you remain with your selfless self. And in that last moment, you know, like without any you can't even begin to describe. It's okay, there's nobody that was dying. And yes, my life was something while it was happening. But that's it. It's like the TV program has been canceled, basically. And all the storyline is just finished. It's just over. It's done.
Yeah, like, you know, the way you were pointing here, yes, death is like ultimate beautiful thing. But when we are alive, now when, like, does this, you're asking, identify myself as presence. Okay, maybe it happens for a few moments, or sometimes it will be there. for a little longer. Sometimes, again, you know, I function as a normal thing. Now, here the question is, when will, you know, one even complete connection comes, like, you know, this, even this I am is nothing. This is also like a dead thing. Without myself, the absolute, or whatever we name it, selfless self, nothing is there. So now, see, the world bothers me because I consider myself as so-and-so in this world. Because of that only, everything makes a sense, or everything tries to, you know, I either feel comfortable or either I feel, you know, uncomfortable. Because I am taking myself, considering myself in the body form. Now you are saying to consider, see that I am the presence. When I start considering myself as presence, even though the world appears real, but I know that I'm not the body. Because of that, this outside things no longer bothers me. Maybe even for a few seconds. But when this, you know, establishment happens, you know, permanently, then this no longer bothers me 24/7. But even this presence, I amness is there, right? So this one, when does, you know, this conviction comes that this is also I am not. And this is also complete illusion.
First, identify yourself as presence and live this way in each moment. This will be answered for you by yourself, because there has to be the, and Maharaj talks about the spontaneous conviction. This spontaneous conviction is done because, okay, I've been told that I'm formless presence. Now I'm aware, like you said, there are certain times where, oh yeah, okay, I know this, I'm formless presence. Now you cultivate this presence in each moment. As each moment arises, instead of turning to the world, you turn to the presence. It Maharaj uses the example of if you were doing a gardening and you needed water to get to a plant, and you're digging and digging and digging, it takes a while for the water to move through and get to the plant. But once it gets to the plant, then it's a nice steady stream. But it takes a while for you to be digging like irrigation. You're digging and digging. And if you give up and you say, oh, okay, it's too much digging, it's just not working, let me go do some other activity, then the water does not get, the conviction does not set in. But if you know yourself in a real sense, formless presence, you don't take the touch of the world, you be happy, 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 and just, you're not conflicting with any people. Why? Because they're all your own selfless self anyway, so this is tossed aside. You remain with the selfless self, and you cultivate this. Cultivating meaning, meditation. Remaining with yourself as self. And as Maharaj says, meditation is not just sitting, om, sitting, you know, chanting mantra and all this. Meditation is concentrating on the concentrator, presence with presence, cultivating presence in each and every moment. See, the problem is we're with presence and then you say, oh, this thing over here is happening. It deserves my attention. So my attention goes off presence to this thing that appears very serious, which of course is an illusion, but I'm losing myself to try and figure out this illusory something that seems very important to the me that I am not.
And I one more problem here is to be in the presence, don't know, even that 1 second or even less than that, there is no control for mind or anything. So it just, you know, happens. Just, you know, trying to be attentive. That's it. Maybe, you know, doing the chanting or trying just to be, just be.
Well, and I told you in my own case, when I was going to India, I had already started feeling the presence. I was already relying on the presence. Now, I believed at the time that the presence was outside of myself, that that was God, and I was somehow communicating with this God. And it was a very deep, very beautiful thing where I'm waiting in line to come to India to meet God, this presence. I knew Maharaj was this presence. I just had kind of a little bit conceptual belief of this will be God in form meeting with John to basically expose the secrets of the universe type thing, so that John would be more at one, would surrender to this presence. But when I went to India and I was fully ready to completely surrender to this presence that I believed was God. In other words, I looked at Maharaj as my concept of God, not Maharaj the man. Maharaj, the presence that I was feeling was in human form to tell me the secret, which I believe the Nam Mantra was going to be that final thing, that final understanding. And Maharaj said to me, "You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. The only thing that is blocking you from remaining with yourself is this concept of body. And to remove that false idea that you are a body, here is the mantra. I place my hand on your head. I whisper the mantra into your ear." Now understand again that in my concept of belief, it was Maharaj's God, this formless presence, whispering in my ear the final solution, so to speak, of everything. And that was, you are not body. You're not going to remain the body. You were never body. Here's a mantra to erase this false concept that has been impressed on you over what we saw called this so-called life of being in the body, so that you may remove the body. Now for me, because I'd already been feeling the presence, it wasn't a matter so much. I'd already cultivated presence as a concept of it being outside of myself, and it was God. I was in the presence of God. And I know that many religious people, that's how, in church, they'll hold up their hand and they'll feel the presence like this, but they have a concept of me and the presence. Maharaj removed this. There is only presence, this me that you believe yourself to be, that seemingly separating presence just needs to be removed because it's a false idea.
So that idea was just a dissolved for you when
with mantra. Because again, it's like, if you truly believe that Maharaj is God, like your concept of God, this formless presence is in the form of Maharaj. And he's saying, to remove this false idea, I give you this mantra. This mantra will remove this false idea, as it has in our lineage since the beginning of our lineage. This is the mantra, the sacred words. That's why we don't tell anybody, because it's between you and God. And God has given you this mantra and said, this will remove the false ideas. And that's why we talked about how you value this mantra. To me, it was as if this, even as a small boy, thinking of God coming down in human form and saying, for you, these words will remove all that is false. It will remove death. It will remove the concept of birth. It will remove all of your difficulties, all of your troubles. Everything will be removed with this mantra. Because all of everything that's been bothering you is absolutely illusion. It is not true. It does not exist. And that's it. And whether you believe in the way I believed about Maharaj, that is the absolute truth. The formless presence, Sadhguru, came in the form and speaks to you within your own self, of course, because you're not actually these two forms. It's formless presence speaking to the formless presence that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Please remove this wrong concept of being a body and be one with me eternally, which you are anyway. You just have the false concept of separation.
When somebody hears that you get a secret mantra and it has to be secret or something, it could give a concept, it could sort of make you, it could create a sort of a concept that makes it seem like only that mantra is going to save me or whatever. And then if you do choose like another mantra, alternative mantra, like it can also be working, because they will also, any mantra will help eliminate the thoughts. But maybe
if I could interject in here just for a moment, not to cut you off, but sure. This was only my own experience. Truly, had Maharaj whispered in my ear, you know, Aham Brahmasmi, Brahmam Asmi, or whatever, that would have been the sacred words because of my belief and my power behind it. So, Soham, Aham Brahmasmi, you know, like I said, when I was going to India, it was Soham Hamsaha, Soham Asmi. And I would say that over and over and over again, because it was a couple of things in the Upanishads that I pieced together. And I said, okay, this is the mantra I would do until I meet Maharaj. But it was the fact of the conviction. So you're absolutely right. If you didn't get specific sacred mantra, it's the concept that no matter what would have been whispered, this is the final. This is the terminus, as Maharaj says, the last stop. It is finished. Your entire life journey, your whole concept of having a spiritual journey, it's over. It's finished. You've reached the whatever you want to say. You've reached the mountaintop, and there was no mountain. There was no climb, and you just simply are. And once you do, so to speak, in this moment, then there's no like, yay, look at me, I'm enlightened, or how wonderful, I reached the mountaintop. I reached the mountaintop, but there was no mountain. There was never a climber. There was no journey, ever.
It just becomes plain and simple, no question.
Now there's an understanding that this whole spiritual journey was absolutely an illusion. There's no gold ring or prize at the end. It's just the fact that you know yourself in a real sense, and therefore there's nothing special about it other than you've stopped imagining yourself to be something that you are not.
So my question was going to be, if I did choose my own mantra, or one, maybe not my own, but, you know, I mean, you can't own a mantra. Or, I mean, the mantra is the mantra or whatever. And would it be helpful, or if you keep that a secret, the mantra that you choose, would that like imitate the secret, the secrecy of the mantra, or in any way to make you closer, like more one with the mantra or something, because it's a secret? Or
the whole thing that I would say is, remember, the entire world is your projection. If you sat there and you said, oh, I didn't get this mantra from the lineage, but I got this mantra, this is my mantra, remember that the book that you happen to be reading from, it's you, it's your story. Everything is information and pieces for you to know yourself in a real sense. So you are the writer of all the mantras, because you're prior to body, you're prior to words. You are the writer of all the religion, all the everything. They're breadcrumbs for you to know yourself, that you've left for yourself. And everything is there for your benefit. And somebody just texted me. This is, hold on, I'm reading this text here. Krishnamurti style of teaching? I don't know so much about this.
What I'm going to say is, generally Krishnamurti condemns everything. Like, you know, now he says like every practice, it is like, you know, altogether separation, you know, from that awareness. So that's why he doesn't allow any authority, or, you know, he says like no guru, no practice, nothing.
No mantra, nothing.
Yeah. So Keith, are you like, you know, seeing in that perspective, like what kind of value mantra brings? Are you seeing that perspective?
Kathleen needs to go.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
anyway, I just want to say one thing. What I was saying was creating another concept around mantra. It's still just, you know.
Mantra itself is illusion. Maharaj has said that. But you use one illusion to eliminate another illusion. The mantra eliminates the illusion that you're a body. Then you throw away the mantra.
Yeah, the thorn that pulls out the other thorn, that and they throw both of them away.
Exactly. All right, I don't want to hold up Kathleen because you did say a specific.
Okay.
Okay. Guru? See you guys next time.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.